Turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to read verses 13 through 16, and we're familiar with this. This is the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and he had just finished preaching the Beatitudes and gave them divine instructions, and now he's commanding them and telling them who they are. How about that? Jesus to tell you who you are. If you're his child, he'll tell you who you are. And he's going to tell these believers who have sat patiently and listened to him preach. He's now in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. He's going to tell these believers who they are. And this is who we are. If we're saved, we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is who we are. How about that? Matthew 5, 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. Precious Lord, we want to shine as light, Father God, but we can't shine, Father God, unless you shine in us. Father God, so we ask you this morning, Father God, if our lights are dim, if our lights are even off, plug us in, Lord. Plug us in, light us up so we can give you glory. Not that we can give ourselves glory, Father God. Not so we can glorify another man or woman or thing. But we want to give you glory, Father God. And the only way we can give you glory is if we're shining as light. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let your light shine before a godless world, a dark world. And then let your light shine in a way that gives God glory. The text talks about being salty, being shiny, being salty and being shiny. But the last thing it says, and I hope you guys see it, because the only way we can give God glory is if we're biblical, if we're scriptural. Be biblical. Be what the Word of God asks us to be. Be what the Word of God asked us to be. So Jesus gives them the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just look at 5. And he's giving them the Sermon on the Mount. You guys are familiar with this. Because, you know, people say blessed. And this is what we talked about on Sunday school this morning when I heard Juanita say, "I'm blessed." And I understand that because I understand where Juanita was coming from. Because I'm blessed because of God, what God has done. But here's what God says about being blessed. And he gives them this first. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He said, "Blessed are they that mourn." "Blessed are the meek." "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness." I hear a lot of people talking all the time. "Well, I'm blessed, I'm blessed." Here's the whole chapter on being blessed. And then it's not like Bob Barker would say, you know, "Come on down. And I'm blessed because I got a new car. And I'm blessed because I got a new house. And I'm blessed because my kids are doing well. And I'm blessed because Blessed are the merciful." Are you full of mercy? Are you full of God's love and grace and mercy? If you are, you're blessed.
Amen.
"Blessed are the pure in heart." You have a pure heart? Do your heart speak pure things? Does your mind think pure thoughts? How about this one? "Blessed are the peacemakers." Are you a peacemaker or an earth disturber? I hear a lot of folks say they're blessed and they're not peacemakers. How about this one? You don't hear this one at all. Got folks going through. If I would say everybody in here that's going through, raise your hand, all the hands would go up.
Amen.
So I'll say it like this. Everybody in here that's not going through, raise your hand. There, that's better. Okay? Because God says this in verse 11, verse 10. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Most folks going through it, God took his hand off of me. No, maybe God's blessing you. Maybe God is taking you through something so you can be a blessing to others. So they can say, well, you know, watch how Sister So-and-so handles this. Okay? I've been blessed watching some of you guys go through. Okay? I've been blessed watching some of you handle adversity and handle the trials and tribulations that come in this life. Because the word of God says, in this life you will have trials and tribulations. And it's not the fact that we're going to have them. It's how do we respond in the midst of them. Now we can sit here and Claire is the last one, went through, lost her husband. Now I mean, it's just weird. It's just strange that, you know, the big day is not here. But wasn't it a blessing to us to know that she and him both knew the Lord? Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? We didn't have to stay up all night worried, oh, what Claire gonna do? Well, you know, where Dave going? We were blessed because of their relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And then we don't like to hear it like that. I had a lady on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook a lot, but she's just telling me her wonderful aunt. She was Antoinette Hidyard. We went to school with her, and we graduated together. And she said, my aunt passed away. She was such a wonderful blessing to me and to my family. And I wrote back, praise the Lord for God giving you such a wonderful person in your life. How about that? Now that might be something. You should have put down. You know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. But I just sit here and say, thank God. If Cindy, God bless her soul, if something was to happen to Cindy, and I would sit here and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me 35, 40. How many years we've been married? 40 years now. Thank you for the 40. Thank you for lending her to me for 40 years, and let me spend the joyous 40 years with her. And we don't look at God like that. We don't look at the things like that. But then blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. What's the song say? No cross, no crown. You're going to go through some stuff here.
Amen.
You're going to go through some stuff here. And God expects us when we go through to shine. To shine. Oh, that's a hard one there, folks. People say, where are you going with this, pastor? Listen, rejoice. Verse 12 of Matthew 5. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Amen. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let me tell y'all something. You live by the book. You live by the book. Okay? And all the prophets wrote the books. I know some of y'all think there's prophets today. There's no prophets today. All the prophets in here. All right? And every one of them that honor God with their lives and honor God with what they taught and honor God and how they live, guess what they got? They got some persecution. Okay? They got Matthew, who we reading. The Bible say, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, he was sawn in half. Okay? Peter was crucified upside down. Prophet Isaiah was sawn in half. They killed him. They beheaded him. Paul was beheaded. Okay? So you know, this ain't nothing popular. So we got this Christianity. Oh, you know, you're a Christian, you're a preacher. It's popular. You know, no. It's popular if you faking it. But if you stay 100% with it and preach it, you're going to get what the prophets got. You're going to get what Jesus got. And your blessing is going to come in the fact that you in a relationship with God. Don't matter. You cut my head off. Don't matter. Absent from the body. Present with the Lord. Well, that's a tough one to swallow, ain't it? No, we don't want to die. Okay, we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die. Okay. But here's our text. And there's our text. And most of our text is coming out of 14 because I'm trying to stay BBS. Trying to get y'all ready for VBS. Verse 13, though, it's just we know what salt do. Some of y'all really like salt. But once you put the salt in the food, guess what? You don't see the salt. But when you taste the food, you taste the salt. Okay? You don't see the salt. But when you put it in the food, you don't see it. But you taste it. See, salt represents what's going on inside of us. Okay? It's what's going on inside of us. And it says, you are the salt of the earth. God is calling the people of God the salt of the earth. Guess what salt does? It's a preservative. We talk about what's going on in Texas. We talk about what's going on, what happened in Virginia. And you can go to every state, Ohio, all these kids going around and shooting up everything, get mad and start shooting people. Get mad and start killing people. You know, it's, what's happening? Our world is deteriorating. And most of us, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Things are happening now that wasn't happening 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And it's getting worse and worse. And they'll ask the preacher, is things going to ever get better? No. The real preacher going to say, no, it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse. The fake one will say, yeah, it's going to get better. When? It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And one of the reasons why it's getting worse because it's rotting away. And what did they do back in the day when they had meat back in the day? Margaret would know. Some of you folks, for old school folks, was, you know, when you got that meat, what you do to it to make it, preserve it? You salted it down. Salt them hams down. Salt that meat down. And smoke it, huh? See, I know I get y'all talking in a minute, but it was preserved. And what God is saying in here, he said, you are the salt of the earth. Okay? And Christians ought to be salty. I don't mean that kind of salty. Some of y'all just honorary. That's just salty about everything. No, I don't mean that kind of salty. Okay? When I say salty, I mean flavorful. You ought to be a preservative. And when you ought to walk into a situation and you ought to bring some salt to it, some preserve, some value to that situation. Okay? Yeah, that's our word, enhancing. Okay? That's a good way of looking at it. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, that's us. Okay, that's saved folks. Saved folks ought to be salty. How do we stay salty? Stay in the Word. Stay praying. Okay? Stay in a relationship with God. Stay salty. Stay singing and praising God and worshiping God and stay in fellowship with other salty Christians. And, you know, salt ought to attract salt. And all everybody's salty. But if you get away from praising God, get away from Bible study, get away from Sunday school, get away from coming to church. Oh, let's say I go to church today. The cast didn't go into overtime. I'm going to bed early. Up by 30, I can go to bed early. I'm going to church tomorrow. But if they would have been 5 overtimes, you wouldn't have been here. But see, you lose your saltiness when you stay away from the things of God. You lose your saltiness. He says this, and when you lose your saltiness, this is Jesus talking, not me. He says, you're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. You mess up somebody's meat, put some salt on it. You know, got this big old ham, and you getting ready to put it. They used to have them little buildings they put them hams in, and smokehouses or something. And you put some salt on it that then lost its savior. You go back to get that ham. And the worms and ate it all up. It then rotted away. And you go back to the place you bought the salt and say, hey man, you sold me some bad salt. Yes. Okay? Now you salty. He's salty because it's a different kind of salty now. Okay? Well, you lost your ham, now you salty. but that's what he's saying about the salt. But I don't want to talk about the salt. I want to talk about the light. I want to talk about light today. Because Cindy told me, she said, you got to preach VBS so folks will know. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. Jesus is talking here. He's already said, and ye are the light of the world. Now, he's not pulling any punches. This is why I love preaching the gospel. Jesus says, ye are. He's not giving you no wiggle room. If you say you're a Christian, you are the light of the world. Don't sit here and tell me you're a Christian and you ain't light. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become light. Come light. You ain't got to talk. Light don't talk. Nobody heard the sunrise this morning. Okay? Nobody heard the sunrise this morning. But you knew it rose. Okay? Just like I said, you don't see the salt in your food, but you'll know if it had too much salt or if it needs some, or if it's just right. There you go. Taste and see.
Amen.
Okay? Y'all helping me this morning. Okay? Listen, ye are the salt, the light of the world. That's emphatic. You are. Okay? You don't have a choice. Okay? That's a command. Ye are the light of the world. The light of the world. And let me talk about the world. Let me talk about the world. I'm going to keep going. Slowly get through this. Slowly get through this. The world is dark. Okay? The world is dark. See, the world wouldn't need no light if it was light. The world is dark. Here's how Jesus described the world in Luke. He says, to give light unto them. Luke 179. He's to his people in the world. Okay? I don't care. You know, they can say whatever they want to say. To give light to them that sit in darkness. And in the what? The shadow of death. Okay? So why does the world need light? Because there's folks in the world who are sitting in darkness. How about that? Sitting. And remember when we sat in darkness? And see, we didn't sit here and play like we've been saved all our life. There was a time we sat in darkness.
Amen.
Okay? How's the song go? Slipping in the darkness. We sat in darkness. And in the shadow of death. Okay? And when Jesus came, what did he do? What did he do to us? He illuminated us. He illuminated us. And if we're the light of the world, then we have to go out into a dark world and do what? That's all we got to do is shine.
Amen.
That's all we got to do is shine. I don't care where you go. You know, folks are going to recognize you. You ever been somewhere and you know you ain't supposed to be there? And folks that's there know you ain't supposed to be there. They say, what you doing here? What you doing here? Okay? Now, what you doing here? Why did they sit in darkness? Why do folks sit in darkness? They like it. And when we sit in darkness, we liked it too. And many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we didn't even start getting dressed till it was dark. And then we stayed out so long, we didn't wake up till it was getting dark again. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all so holy. I know I'm right, Vaughn. See, we sat in darkness. We sat in darkness and we partied in darkness. All our friends was in darkness. And that's what I hear people say all the time. I don't mind going to hell. All my friends going to be there. Well, if you got friends there now, I guarantee you one thing. They don't want you coming. I don't care how much. Okay? Ain't no friend want you coming to hell with them.
Amen.
And the truth be told, we all got friends in hell. Don't let no preacher tell you that everybody, all you got to do is die and go to heaven. We got some friends in hell. Just right now, I'm saying, preacher, don't let him come. Listen, the Bible started off in darkness, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let me tell you something. That's the light we got if you're saved. You have the same light in you that God used to light up the world. In Him was light. In Him was life. And the life was the light of man. Watch this now, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let me stop there. Why didn't they comprehend it? Why didn't they comprehend it? Why didn't they comprehend it? Why didn't they understand that they was in darkness? Why did they not know? How could they not know they was in darkness? They didn't want to know. Folks, listen. When we was in darkness, none of us on our own thought, you know what, I want to get out of darkness. You know what, I think tomorrow I'm going to stop being in darkness. No, that ain't how that works. This flesh is never going to tell you to stop sinning. It don't even have that built in it. All this flesh can tell you is, you know what? Kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. Your flesh will never wake you up, tap you, and say, you know what? You need to go to church and hear the word of God and turn your life around. Your flesh will never, ever tell you that. Okay? If you saved, and if you saved, you need to thank God. Okay? For quickening you. Why didn't they comprehend? Look what the Gospel of John chapter 3 says. Here's why they didn't comprehend. Okay? Because if the Word of God explains itself, I'm going to sit up here and make up stuff. It says, here's why they didn't comprehend. Here's why, if you know folks that's still in darkness, still struggling in darkness, I don't want to have nothing to do with the church. I don't want to have nothing to do with being saved. I don't want to have nothing being holy and all that purity and all that grace, mercy, and love, peace. Y'all talk about y'all can have it. Let me tell you why. Based on scriptures. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. That's not a good word. Okay? Condemnation don't mean this is good. This is bad. Okay? And this is the condemnation. And this is the reason why the world's going to hell in a handbag. Okay? That light is come into the world. Who's that light? Jesus. That light is coming to the world. And men loved darkness rather than light. Men loved darkness rather than light. And that word love is strong. That's a strong word. They loved darkness. Why? y'all there. Because their deeds were evil. Okay? They loved darkness. They loved living in their ignorance and sinfulness rather than the true knowledge and holiness. And really, that's how all of us were. When Jesus came to the rich young ruler came running, rather. He came running and Jesus said, what must I do to have eternal life? You know what he said? He said, you're going to have to leave darkness. And he said, he didn't say it like that. He said, go sell all that you have. Sell it to the poor. Come follow me. Basically, he was saying, you got to leave darkness. The Bible says, he turned and went away. Okay? Why? Because his deeds were evil. Okay? Why did the light of God come? Why did the light of God come? To open eyes. It's hard, you know, once that light hit your eyes, nobody want a flashlight shining bright in their eyes, but once that light comes, some folks can't sleep. I hear people working midnight shifts say, hey, I can't work midnight shifts because I can't sleep in the daytime. You know, some folks put them things over their eyes, they sleep with them black things over their eyes, you know. I say, Cindy, be trying to get an extra hour in. She be trying to get an extra hour in, and then the shining light coming through the window. She got the pillow all over her face and everything. Trying to get an extra 15, 20 minutes. Because that light got her up. Now she can't sleep because the light got her up. See, and that's why light came into the world, to open eyes. To open eyes. Here's John. John ushered in the light of the world. He was a forerunner to the light of the world. He was ushering in Jesus Christ. And it says, in the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And he could have said, behold, the light of the world has come. And what did he come for? To take away the sin of the world. Why did Jesus have to come take it away? Because we're not strong enough. We're not strong enough. You're not strong enough on your own to walk out of Satan's domain. Okay? Satan is a bad man. He's a bad boy. I hear people say, well, I'm bound Satan. You ain't bound Satan. Don't let nobody, I bound Satan. In the name of Jesus, I bind Satan. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody bound to Satan. Okay? Listen. Keep going. I'm going to give you scriptures. Here's Paul. Here's Paul talking to the people of God about Jesus and the power of God. And the power of Satan, rather, and God. He says, and he says this. He says, here's why light came. To open their eyes. To open their eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. Acts 26 and 17. See, when the apostles start talking about the power of Satan, that means there's nothing to play with. Okay? You go to the book of Jude and the archangel says, I don't want to mess with Satan. Because he's a powerful man. And some of you in here now know how powerful he is because we got stuff. We got stuff we dealing with. And we know if God don't deliver me from this, I'm going to die with this. Or it's going to kill me. Shine his lights. Shine his lights. Shine his lights. I have so many scriptures. Look at this one. You think about drugs, gambling. You think about drinking. You think about sex. You think about all this stuff that the world is pushing. And it's profitable. People are making money, tons of money on drugs. Now they just came up with legalizing sports gambling. Okay? Y'all think that's a game? Let me tell y'all something. Y'all look at some of these houses all over Youngstown, all over Liberty, all in Girard, all these foreclosed homes. Okay? Go to New Jersey. Go to New Jersey. And everything around that casino is just poverty. It's just poverty. It's just bad. Okay? Why? Because them casinos are sucking all the money out of all the people. And folks can't pay their houses and can't pay their car payment because... And some of y'all know folks with some serious gambling problems, serious drug problems, serious drinking problems, serious sexual problems. Now watch what this, watch this now. Watch what Paul says. And see, the world don't like this. In the world, they got Paul and they cut his head off for saying stuff like this. He said, Paul says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Who are the rulers of the darkness of this world? Okay. There's folks making money. Pharmaceutical companies making money. Okay? This opium problem we have in America, guess what? Folks making money off of that. Everywhere you go, you got a methadone clinic over here, and it's opening over here. Folks making money. Somebody at the casinos made like $260 million net. The four of them combined. Net. Do y'all understand what I'm saying about net? That's after they paid all their bills. They cut all their grass, paid all their bills, paid all the people that work in the restaurants, paid all the security, paid all the slot machines, paid everybody. Hey, them machines ain't playing with you. Amen. Okay? Me driving around, I'm watching. You know how many of y'all know how much a DUI costs now? $7,000-$8,000? Okay.
That's if you get off.
Okay? And if you're a school teacher or a nurse or a truck driver, it costs you more than that. Cost you everything. And you know what the world do? They promote it. You turn on the TV. And listen, I used to go to the bars. I've been saved all my life. And hey, listen, let me tell you something. All the women don't look like they do on TV. You go to the bar, all the women don't look, everybody work out, everybody got a six pack, everybody, all these women are 120 pounds. They ain't used to get like that till 2 o'clock. They start getting looking better as the night got older. Oh Lord, help me. Darkness. They turn the lights on, you know, everybody getting up out of there. Oh Lord, help me. Darkness. Darkness describes that which Jesus came to overcome. That's all. Darkness is just what Jesus came to overcome. Because, you know, David said, we were born in darkness. We were born in darkness. And if God don't save us, we're going to die in darkness. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Okay? See, when Jesus came, he cast out darkness. He commanded darkness to leave. Okay? Now I think about Psalms 119 and 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp, a light unto my path. And when you think about it like that, think about your car. And now if you lose something in your car, your headlights ain't going to help you find it. Okay? You got a lamp. You hit the button on top or wherever it's at, and that lamp illuminates stuff that's around you. Okay? Now the light, what light does unto your path, it illuminates stuff that's in front of you. See, so God says, when God's word says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, it's gonna keep me that perimeter, my own personal perimeter, it's gonna keep me well informed of what's going on. Because I got the light. I got a light around me. But that light projects, lets me know where I'm going. People in darkness don't know where they're going. Folks living in darkness, they don't know where they're going. You start talking to somebody in darkness about heaven. They don't know nothing about heaven. They can't see that far. They're looking right now, living for the moment. Living for the moment. Listen. Darkness, folks, now they said it, don't know where they're going. Let me give you a verse. Look at John. Look at John 12. I'm just keep going. You can write it down. Just listen to me straight out of the book. And then Jesus said unto them, watch this now. Talking to his disciples. Yet a little while is the light with you. He called himself the light. A little while light is with you. Walk while you have light. Walk while you have light. Lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You ever talk to somebody walking in darkness? Try to get some advice from somebody walking in darkness? How's that going to work? The blind leading the blind. He ain't gonna tell you spiritual things. He's gonna tell you worldly things. Okay? I told you about the lady at my job. Been divorced 5 times. She giving marital advice. She giving marital advice. I'm sitting here like, well, young lady, why are you listening to her? What if it was me? Let me keep going. Talk about darkness. I'm going to get to light. I'm going to get to some good stuff in a minute. I'm almost done. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. Watch this now. When we get saved and when God becomes our light, guess what? God is in control. Okay? God is in control. See, we don't serve a God that ain't in control. He created light. He is the light. He can run everything. I wouldn't even want to serve a God that couldn't control things. God is in control. Watch this, what it says. He says, for God, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. How about that? We can't command light. We can hit the flick. We can hit the switch. We'll have a clue why the light come on. We just think Ohio Edison. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness to the people of God. Now, watch this now. Have shined in our hearts. He shined in our hearts. According to what he's trying to say, our hearts was what? Our hearts was dark. We had dark hearts, and God shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When God shined in our hearts, okay? And don't, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, I seen Jesus in a pizza and seen Jesus in a taco and all that stuff. That's not what he's saying. Listen. When God shines in our hearts, the shine comes when you hear the word of God. Okay? When you hear the word of God, that's the only way God can shine in your heart. This is why it's so important that we preach the gospel, that you preach the scriptures. Because the only way the light can come into a person if they hear the word of God. See, so many folks out here preaching stuff that's not biblical. You want to be saved, you have to hear the scriptures preached. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's important that the word of God be preached if your light going to come on. And I keep on preaching and preaching and preaching, and folks say, I don't want the light to come on. So they'll leave the church and go somewhere where they ain't preaching against it. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear that. Because I ain't trying to stop doing this, and I ain't trying to stop doing that. And all he preach about is sin every week. Well, if I open up scriptures, I can't find nothing to preach about. Y'all can give me some topics. Y'all can give me some verses. Y'all get, you know, I'll put a box outside my office and say, you know, give me some scriptures. You know, here's what I want you to preach on. And it's going to still come out the same. It ain't going to change. Why? Because I got all these verses here, and it says here in Colossians 1:13, who have delivered us. Who? Jesus. From the power of darkness. What's the problem? Men love darkness. So when you start talking to men and women who love darkness about being delivered from the power of darkness, guess what you got? Remember I told you on Wednesday night about the little girl we was teaching over on the south side. We was teaching a class. The little girl said, you know, Reverend, how far can I go before it's too far? How much can I sin before it's too much sin? See? Why? Because we love darkness. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be delivered. We got stuff that we're doing and we don't want to stop doing. If we don't want to stop doing, guess what? We don't want to hear about it every Sunday. Okay? And folks say, hey, ain't nothing in the Bible about smoking. Ain't nothing. God grew marijuana. Ain't nothing in the Bible about smoking marijuana. Jesus made wine at a wedding. Ain't nothing wrong with me drinking a 40 every day. Ain't nothing about gambling in the Bible. Ain't nothing wrong with going to the casinos and dropping my whole paycheck. I hit a couple weeks ago. All right. You tell me how you can give God glory sitting on a bar stool or sitting in front of one-eyed monster, one-eyed bandit, or whatever they call them, one-armed bandits, and you sitting there smoking your dope and you giving God glory. You tell me how. Tell me how. See, light gives God glory. People of light give God glory. Okay? We're commanded to give God glory. No, 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Watch this now. See, these people were taught. And a lot of folks don't want to be taught. Now I work for a company, I work for the government. Folks don't want to be taught. I've been doing this 30 years. I've been working in corrections almost 30 years. Okay? And I get a hotshot little officer coming in here, been 6 weeks. Can't tell him nothing. And some of y'all know that. Y'all, that's what you're dealing with now. They're gonna be folks don't want to be taught. They come to church and tell you everything. Okay? Ain't even saved. But see, here Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church, and he done taught them. By the time we get to chapter 5, Paul has spent time with these people, and he done taught them. And watch what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:1. He said, of the times and of the season, brethren, you have no need that I write you. Paul had taught them. They know how to handle stuff that's coming up. They know how to handle adversity and trials are going to come in their life. Why he said that? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now that's interesting because we heard that verse before. How does a thief come? He come when you ain't expecting him to come. Ain't no thief call you up and say, hey, you know what? On a Friday, I'm going to rob you. He not. A thief ain't coming like that. He ain't coming like that. They going to come in the night. And the night represents a time where folks usually ain't paying attention. Folks ain't asleep. Folks ain't on watch. But watch what Paul says about the believer. This is important about the man of God, the woman of God. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as a trouble upon a woman with child. Woman with child, she know when that doctor told her she'd do. She don't know when that water going to break. Okay? If she did, she'd be sitting in the parking lot of the hospital. She wouldn't be at the mall. Watch this though. But ye, brethren, I like that. I like that because brethren means something different. Brethren means someone who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and is saved and have the Spirit of God working in them. They're illuminated. He says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. How about that? You're not in darkness. If you in here saved and in darkness, two things. One thing, you ain't saved. Because he says, you are not in darkness. Okay? That the day should overtake you as a thief. What does Peter say? First Peter 5. He said, be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why, Peter? For your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion. What? Seeking whom he may destroy. But the brethren know that. Okay? Now, if somebody call you up and say, brother, look, you got a lion walking around your property, guess what you're going to do? One thing you ain't going to do is open the door and go outside. And hopefully you got something to defend yourself with inside. And you got the cell phones, you're going to call somebody. You're going to call the zookeeper or somebody. Hey, look, one of your lions escaped and he's walking around my yard. Watch verse number 5. Say it with me. He says, you are the children of light. Shine. Paul says, shine. You're the children of light. And the children of the day. Children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. There's a great verse that ties into that. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not going to cover all this. I'm going to find it. Pastor, you got too many verses. That's okay. I'd rather have more material than not enough. Look at this one. Ephesians 4. This was fascinating to me. When you're in pain, what does pain prompt you to do? Okay, I got to take an MRI on Thursday because I just, you know. Okay, I got to take it. I'm going to take it. They gave me some stuff. It feels better, but I'm going to still take an MRI. But here's my point. Pain lets us know that we have what? A problem. Listen, we got a problem. I got some pain and we got a problem. I went to the doctor on what day was that? Thursday. I went to the doctor Wednesday and it was the office was full. Because folks had issues. Because pain had informed their bodies that they need to go to the doctor and get this checked out. Amen. Whether it was a cough, whether it was a pain, whether a pain in the side, a headache, whatever. I don't know what they was in there for. But I was in there because I had a shoulder problem. And I need you to set me up for an MRI because I don't want to tear it up more because I'm not going to stop working out. But look at Ephesians 4:17. Now this is the problem. This is the problem with darkness. When you're in darkness, watch this now. Paul's speaking here. He talks about the effects of darkness. You stay in darkness too long. He says this. He says in verse 17, he said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Vanity in mind. Vanity means emptiness. Foolishness. Not caring about nothing. Okay? And if you walk around not caring about nothing long enough, then sooner or later you're going to be in a bad situation. Okay? Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. How many of us know people like this?
Amen.
You know, you sit there and you try to tell them, look, this ain't no game. This is serious. You know what? You got this. Life ain't playing with you. And you say it long enough, and now these folks they got problems. They didn't got old. They ain't got old, and they took life serious. And guess what? And life has consumed them. Having their understanding darkened. They're staying in foolishness and vanity too long. Look at the next part of this verse. This is why the Word of God speaks so clearly. Being alienated from the life of God. How about that? How about that? Listen. I got one. Don't want to have nothing to do with church. Been to church all his life. I'd rather just drop me off somewhere. I ain't going to church. How does that happen? How does that happen? And then I look around here and none of our kids come to church. Mm-hmm. Not only this one, but ain't going none. That's sad. I had a preacher preach a message, raising kids for the devil. Being alienated from the life of God. There's a problem with that. And then we wonder why our prisons is full and our kids is crazy because they're trying to live alienated from the things of God. You know, it's a blessing. You want to talk about a blessing? You want to sit here and talk about a blessing? Justin and Joshua sitting there, it's a blessing to have a mama that brings you to church and sits you down. Taking phones and stuff away from you. Listen. Knowing that God's word will not return, boy, you may not understand it now, but you understand it better.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Watch this. I keep on going. I get caught up in these verses. Listen. Having their understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them. We were born with ignorance in us. Okay? We were born with ignorance in it. We were born ignorant of the things of God. We were born in sin. Ignorant of the things of God. And guess what? And if it doesn't come a point in our life where we turn and repent from our ignorance, we're going to die in our ignorance. Here's what Paul's saying. Now, I'm going to get to verse 19. Having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because, watch this now, of the blindness of their hearts. Blindness of their hearts. When we sit here and start talking about people, Lord, oh, just illuminate their hearts. Remember how we tell the story of Lydia in Acts 16, and Lydia heard Paul. And what did God do? Open up her heart. What it means? He opened up the eyes of her heart so she could understand the scriptures. This is why I'm so adamant about preaching the scriptures, because I sit up here and I can sing and dance and tell you a lot of jokes and stuff and preach on stuff you want to hear. It ain't going to open your hearts up. Look at verse 19, though. I thought this was a fascinating verse as I studied this text. Who being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. What's that? What's this? Being past feelings. That means what it's saying is you don't have nothing that's gonna shake you or stir you to look, this is wrong. You stayed in sin so long, you are past feelings. You know, your sin don't even remind you that you got a problem. I got a problem. I got a disease. I'm sick. I need to go see Dr. Jesus.
Amen.
Because it's spiritual. We're not talking about a physical problem. This person has their understanding darkened. They've been alienated from the things of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, being past feelings, have given themselves over to the devil. That's all I'm saying. Has given himself over to the devil. He basically, the devil, I'm yours. I don't want nothing to do with God. See, pain urges sick people to seek a remedy. Now, listen, some of y'all like going to the doctor too. Okay? Some of y'all like going to the doctor. I don't like going to the doctor. But when you got a problem, you got to go. You got to go. This man had a problem, he didn't go. Listen. Okay. That's enough. Let me talk about light for a minute. Just a minute. Light is who we are. Light is who we are. God says light is who we are. When God saved us, changed our environment. Our environment now is lit up. How about that? Our environment is light is now lit up. No, wherever we go, we ought to be like, you know what, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Okay, because when God called us out of darkness, he called us into a marvelous light. Now we walk around illuminated. Everywhere we go, people ought to be like, damn, you know? Let me refrain from that, because it don't have to be super bright. Some folks think, you know, you ever run into some Christians, they just super bright. They just super bright. You just can't look at them. They so super bright. Now, you don't have to be super bright, because there's a time for super bright lights, and there's time for, you know, you want to, I don't want to do no old Teddy Pendergrass turn off light stuff like that, but just sometimes light's dim. You don't want to go into a restaurant and light's so bright. Can't even, you just, you know, they just got to, you know. But God says this. You are a chosen generation. How about that? Royal priesthood. Some of y'all sat there and watched the wedding yesterday. Wasn't she beautiful? A royal priesthood. And holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you. See, we have a responsibility to give God glory. Who have called you. Where was you at when he called you? He called you out of darkness. Into his marvelous light. Now the believer that's been called out of darkness into his marvelous light is happy. Thank you, Jesus. Because there's no way I couldn't find. You can't find your way out of darkness. Think about it now. You think you're in darkness. And all the lights is out. You can't find your keys. You can't find your phone. God had to get you out of that. Listen. I like this one. He's our enjoyment. I know we don't have 20,000 members come out on Wednesday night. We might have 10 people there on a good night. You know, that's joyful. It was joyful this week when Kiera came in and sat down. Her and Joshua, Justin was out in the hallway falling out of something, making all kind of noise. But it was just nice. Why? Let me give you a verse, and I'm gonna close with this one. Because God's our enjoyment. For the believer, we ought to enjoy being around each other. Okay? We ought to enjoy being around each other. That's a sign that you have life in Christ. I want to be around some believers. Especially if you work like a place like I do, or some of you guys work where Sylvia work at. You know, and she work hard to get here. You got to get away from them folks. You work around demons all day. Cussing and swearing. I don't care where you work at, folks. Lost folks.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And you. Now I got to get. I need to be around God's people. Okay. I just need to be around God's people. I've been around these heathens too long. Okay. Listen. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What a beautiful thing. God blessed the church with fellowship. Remember, you hear people call this church fellowship churches. I don't have a problem with that. But every church should be a fellowship church. Okay? Our title, our name's way too long. We can't put Christian Bible Baptist Christian Bible Baptist Fellowship Church. That would be way too long. But every church should be a fellowship church. Okay? There ought to be fellowship. We ought to look forward to being with each other and talking to each other and sharing our problems and sharing our blessings and sharing our joys and ups and downs with each other. That's what we ought to do. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the light, for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you for the faithful ones. We thank you for the patient ones who